Okay, today's mitzvah is mitzvah Resh Mem Beis, 242. We are into the second half of the second mitzvah that relates to revenge, but the second half of our discussion, and that is, as we read yesterday, the three mitzvahs in the parsha, the first one we discussed yesterday, that was the Isser of Nekama, and today is the second half. We mentioned already yesterday that the Mesillas Yesharim says that this is terribly difficult to fulfill, to overcome one's natural tendencies of Nekama, of wanting to take Nekama, but it takes a major leaguer. It takes a very strong sense of mitzvah in order to overcome. We mentioned the three different ideas, the two different ideas that the Chinuch mentioned, and we threw in one more. Either, number one, the subject-object discussion. Everything in life as me as an object is out of my control. And I know it wasn't meant to be, so it was just like the mashal that we gave from the Chafetz Chaim of, well, why aren't you Reuven? Because Reuven's not supposed to be here. So why aren't you the person that did something good for me? Because that is not the person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind. As a subject, I have Bechira Chafshis. As an object, you know, I have to be under the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. That was all number one. And we mentioned the story of Yosef and others. Number two we mentioned was the idea of keeping the peace, nimsa b'mitzvah to elis rav lahashpis riv lahavir amistomas b'leib b'nei adam, or to keep together. I was mentioning the Yerushalmi about the looking at each other at, like the right hand and the left hand. And then a third idea, we mentioned that so many issues that come up are just foolish, and the Rama mentioned in Hilchos Deos that we have to just take a long view and a long-term view, and in that way we'll be able to overcome. Okay, a couple of other points today, talking about Nekama. First, to start off with a story, the Rambam mentions this. I'm just going to quote the Rambam about Nekama, and the opposite of Nekama is somebody who just lets things slide. That is, the Rambam quotes a unusual story in the Pirush Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Dalid, Mishnah Dalid, where the Mishnah says that Ma'od Ma'od Havishval Ruach. That's Rabbi Levitas. Rabbi Levitas is Ish Yavne Omer. Ma'od Ma'od Havishval Ruach. She Tikvas Enosh Rima. Because the ultimate resting place of a person is amongst the worms. So, ma'od ma'od avishval ruach. The Sma on Choshen Mishpat, we mentioned this in a different context, quotes that there is only five or six places in all of Shulchan Aruch, and Tur Shulchan Aruch, that the language uses ma'od ma'od. Be very, very careful. He doesn't say that too often, the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch. He says that by Ribbis, he says that by Arayos, he says that about being careful about Refuah B'Shabbos. Says it in four or five places, and the Sma puts them all together and says it's based on this ma'od ma'od. One has to have the proper perspective in all of those cases of being an un of being humble. So the Rambam on that Mishnah says, let me just find it. Where's the Kfar bi'arnu v'zacharnu beprakam akodmim shaha'anava hi amalos hamidos. Anava, which is the opposite of Nekama. Nekama means I think I'm great, I'm awesome. And Anava is I hold myself that not above the other person. If I was wronged, okay. I'm now Laveina Olev. Vihimu Mutzas ben Agaiva Veshiflis Haruach. Ve'im Lashem Acher Rak Anava. There's not really any other name for Anava. For Gaiva, there's Gvalev, Einaim Ramos, Ge'a Rum, Umishemos Chachamim, Ruach Gavoa, Gasus Ruach. But Anava is Anava. Okay, says Ramosha, says the Rambam. That is Ramosha, Ramosha ben Maimon, that we have to go to the other extreme when it comes to Anava. Remember, the Rambam says in Hilchos Deos, by every midah, we have to be in the middle, except for the two extremes. That is Gaiva and Kaas. Those two have a lot in common, but which means Anava and not getting angry. Those are the two extremes. So then the Rambam says, and he feels it's important to mention in his commentary, so we're just going to mention it. An extreme example. Ra'isi b'sefer misifrei hamidos she'nishal le'echa minachashuvim achasidim v'nomar lo eze yom hu she'samachta bo yosef mikol yamecha. What was the happiest day of your life? So Amar. So the answer given in the sefer that the Rambam quotes: Yom she'ayiti holech basvina v'haya mekomi bepachos shebimekomos. I was in the boat and I was sitting in the steerage. Right, I was sitting in the lower class. Where the animals are kept. They put me in the luggage compartment. Right? I didn't have any money for the boat. I wasn't even in coach. Right? I was with the suitcases. There were businessmen. And I was minding my own business. I was like a homeless person. Come lahashtin. There were some people on the boat that got up to go to the bathroom. Va'ehi nakel be'enav v'nivzeh shayiti shafel be'enav ma'od rachman litzlan. So you hear stories of what happened in World War II. At shegila ervaso v'hishtin alai v'tamahati mehitchazek tchuna ha'azus b'nafsho v'chai Hashem lo ka'ava nafshi l'maaseyu klal. Obviously, what he did was disgusting. Went to the bathroom on him, but I didn't feel it. I didn't feel it. Mitzad, me as an object. Obviously, as he was felt, I hope he naturally feels disgusted if somebody's in this situation. That's the extreme, says the Rambam. He's reached the level of total, what, Nekama wasn't on his wavelength, wasn't even in his radar. But that's the example, the extreme example that the Rambam gives. Obviously, we know there's other sources that give emphasis to self-worth, and, you know, that's an extreme case. Somebody's embarrasses, but again, like the Chinuch said yesterday, object versus subject. Just wanted to mention that that Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos, that one could be aware of. Okay, let's get back to some other issues that are a little more traditional. First of all, the Minchas Chinuch discussion in yesterday's mitzvah. You know what? Let's read today's mitzvah first. Shalom lintor. Netira. Netira is the second half of revenge. So what is, how do you have two mitzvahs of revenge? It's all revenge. So if you look in the Rashbam says, Nakama is b'maisa and Netira is b'lev. That's the Rashbam. That's different than Chazal. Right? Lo sikom, revenge, to do something vengeful. That's b'action. Netira is b'lev, where I guard it, literally. Natar is to guard. I guard it in my heart. Chazal, though, had a different understanding of what the difference is between Nekama and Netira. Rashi quotes it here on the Pasuk, but also the Chinuch quotes it. Shlo lintar. What does that mean? Klomar. Shenimnanu mi lintar bilav aveinu mashehera lanu echan mi Yisrael. We cannot guard in our hearts what somebody... Hold a grudge. Netira is basically holding a grudge. Even though I for sure I'm not going to pay him back for what he did for me. He did something negative for me, I'm not going to do something negative back to him. Even just remembering what he did in my heart, I am withheld from doing that. The Sifri says, also the Gemara, at Hechan Kocha Shel Netira. What does Netira mean? Please lend me your kli. And he didn't give it to him. And then the next day, he comes to, the Reuben goes back to Shimon and says, could you lend me your kardom, your axe? Sure, I'm not like you. You can have this kli, even though yesterday, if you remember, you didn't give me your kli. That's an Issa Daraisa. Even though you're giving it to him. You know, some people, you know, do the nice things. That's an Isser of Lositar. That might be also be an Isser of Onaz Dvarim. There's a violation of Avtarecha Kamocha. Bereshem, next mitzvah. This is all like the mitzvah. So again, this is a mitzvah that focuses on one's midos, which we have to learn to perfect. Okay, back to some of the issues. If you look in the Minchas Chinuch in Oz Beis from yesterday says, First, the Minchas Chinuch says there are some exceptions to the rule. First of all, a king is not allowed to be mochel on his kavod, and therefore he's an exception to the rule of Nekama. A king, not so much because of the personal elements, but because of the position of the king. The Malchus, Kevi Melech, Som Tassim Alecha Melech. We'll get to Bezashem that later in the 600 range, but there's a mitzvah of having a Melech. We'll have to work out how is it that that Shmuel and Hashem were so upset that when they asked for a king, but there's a mitzvah of having a Melech. But says the Minchas Chinuch, a Melech is not allowed to be Mochel, is covered. And that's why Shaul was Nanash. And then he says, Ve'efshet lo haya lo az did Melech. There's a question whether he had a din melech. It's a question, when did the state of Malchus split? When did the status of Malchus split? Was there a time that there were two melechim? We know Shaul HaMelech was the first king, but David HaMelech was anointed when Shaul was still king. At that moment, while David was still in hiding, or when David was on the run, and when some accepted David and some accepted Shaul. When halachically, conceptually, did the state of Malchus split? Did they both have the status of Malchus? When people were Moreid b'David, was that considered Moreid b'Melech? These are all discussions that Chazal have, and the Rishonim have. But this is all related to Shaul. A number of the Rishonim, the Sefer HaIkarim, and others talk about whether Shaul did something wrong here. Talk about the Gemara says that there's a difference between Shaul's Chatam and David's Chatam. Shaul did a couple of Chatam, and he lost the Malchus for it. He didn't wait for Shmuel in order to be back with the carbon a week later, and the major one, the nail in the coffin, was Amalek. The Haftorah for Parsha Zachar, he did not wipe out Amalek when he was commanded to. And Shmuel Hanavi comes and says, what's the Kol Atzon I hear in the background? And he says, oh, it's from the Am. And he tries to convince him, and finally he says, okay, I'm sorry. He rips his cloak. He says, the Malchus is going to be ripped away from you. Okay, the question is, David HaMelech also did major, in quotes, chataim, one that he was punished for the rest of his life. And the question is, why didn't he lose the Malchus? Right, Shaul lost the Malchus, but David didn't lose the Malchus. Batsheva, the census. So what's the difference? So the Rishonim explained, based on Chazal, the Sefer Ikarim writes, Yosef Albo, that there were different types of chataim. Shaul's chataim were related to his being a melech. That's why he had to lose the Malchus. His chataim were about giving into the Am and not being a leader, being swayed by the Am and not swaying the Am. And to be a melech, he's got to be strong. Masha'enkein, when it comes to David, they were personal chataim. Batsheva, they weren't related to his being a melech. And therefore, the Malchus was not taken away from him. He was personally punished. But the Malchus was not taken away from him, but that's related to the first part of the Minchas Chinuch. In terms of a melech has to take nekama. Umikom makom tsarech iyun. But then he says, but what about the following? Tarei haya talmid chacham. Shaul was also a talmid chacham to us. You want to say he didn't have a melech at that certain time, but he was a talmid chacham to us. Limchal al bezion b'farhesia. Talmid chacham also was not allowed to be mochel on his kavod. The Gemara says that a talmid chacham, the Gemara in Yuma that we mentioned yesterday, has to be take revenge like a nachash. I'll get you the lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara says that, where's the lashon of the Gemara? Nikimas tam lachacham v'debiyonu l'nishichas nachash. Right, that is the Gemara. Here it is. Amar b'yachanam shumar v'shum ben yosada. Kol tam lachacham she'enu no kim v'no ter kid nachash, enu tam lachacham. Any tam lachacham who doesn't take revenge like a nachash, he's not a tam lachacham. He says, losikem lositar, ha'u ben mamonu dechsif. That's in terms of monetarily. But in terms of, if a Talmid Chacham is wrong, then he has to stand up for Kavanat Torah. Stand up for Kavanat Torah. So, a number of things. Number one, what's the kinet? That's a Yuma Chav Gimel. So, those are the two exceptions to the rule that the Minchas Chinuch mentions. What's the mashal, why dafka, like a nachash? So, a number of achronim related to the Sfasemes, and on that Gemara in Yuma, and so then talks about another thing we'll talk about in a second, and others say that maybe, because the Gemara says in Maseches Tainus that a nachash gets no hana'ah by biting somebody. And all the other animals, the Gemara says in Tainus, all the other animals go to the nachash and say, why are you biting? You don't get any hana'ah from it. All the animals go to the nachash and say, Ari dores v'ochel, ze'ev toref v'ochel, ata ma'ana yishlecha. Amar lahem eini taron baal halashon. It's part of the punishment of a baal lashon hara. He gets no benefit, and he does it anyway. This is part of the punishment of a nachash. But say some of the mafarshim, that's exactly by Talmid Chacham. When a Talmid Chacham is no kim and no ter kinachash, meaning it's only if he gets no benefit out of it. He's not doing it for any enjoyment, any personal advantage, any personal feeling. It's purely like a nachash, purely l'shem shamayim, purely standing up for kavanat Torah. If there's any other type of kavana, then he can't do it. That is off limits, then it's not something that a Talmid Chacham should be involved in. Number one. The other element, this Fasemis deals with in Yuma, Daf Chav Gimel, over there, he says, simple question. Talmid Chacham has to take revenge. So what about Hillel? What about Hillel? What do you mean, what about Hillel? Shabbos Laman Aleph. Remember the two people who made a bet? They made a bet. One of them said to the other one, I could get Hillel angry. Amru, 400 zuz bet. One says, I'm going to get Hillel angry. I'll get him angry. And he goes on a Friday afternoon. Hillel's in the shower. And he goes to the door and says, Hillel, please come here. Hillel comes out of the shower. He hears him. He says, Bini, ma'ata mavakesh. What would you like? He says, I have a Shiloh. He says, please ask. So the guy asks him some foolish question. He says, why the Babylonians' heads round? So he says, She'ela gadola sha'alta mipanai. He says, great question. She'elam chayos pikchos. They don't have great midwives. When they take them out, their head gets de-shaped. So, you know, that's why. Okay, he waits. He waits till he hears the shower go back on. Chazav yamar, mikan hilo, where's hilo? Hillel comes out and says, Bini, matam avakesh. Again, a term of endearment. Bini, Amarle, he says, Avishailo. He says, Sha'al, Bini, Sha'al. He says, why are the eyes of the Tarmodians, Terutos, why are they slit eyes? Bini, Sha'ela, Gadola, Sha'alta. What a great question you ask. Because they live in a lot of sand dunes. And the sand is always flying in their eyes. So they have to keep their eyes closed so they become a little low like that. Okay, goes back into the shower, waits to show achas. Mikan hill. He comes out, b'ni matamah, and he continues. Why the African's feet wide? And he goes, he has these silly questions. He keeps going, and finally he screams at Hillel. He says, Hillel, you cost me 400 zuz. I can't believe. Okay, that's the story. Ask the Sfas Emes. But what about the other gemara? Kol tamar chacham sheinu noki benoter kenachash. He's got to take revenge. What's Hillel doing? Right? Why doesn't he stand up? So says the Sfas Emes. That lo nemar, he says, klal zeh shamar Rabbi Yochum Shimon ben Yotzadak lo nemar ledivrei hakol. He says it must be that it's not a hard and fast law. It must be that it's totally on the machlokas in kiddushin whether rav shemachal al kvodo machal or ain't kvodo machal. And Hillel held like one that says kvodo machal, or rav is allowed to be machal on his coven, and therefore that's what he did. Must be a machlokas in shitas, and therefore that's what Hillel held like the other shita that one shouldn't. Be involved in this. Okay, that's related to issues of Talmud Chacham, Nikmas Talmud Chacham. Next, what I mentioned at the end of the shiur yesterday, fascinating discussion. Rav Sternbach has a tshuva. If somebody that you invited to a simcha doesn't come, and then you get an invitation from them, he didn't come to mine, I'm not going to his. Is that an isser of Nikama, or Natir? In this case, it's Nikama. Is that an isser? Well, he didn't come. So he said, Lanias Daiti, it depends what the motivation was. If it was really somebody, and first of all, you have to be Dalakav Schus. Maybe they were busy that night, maybe they were home with their kids, or they always have to be Dalakav Schus. But, says Rav Sternbach, if it's really, well, he didn't come to mine, I'm not coming to his, then there could be a serious issue of Nakama. But, by the way, this is in Chelek Aleph, Tuf Lamed Beis. Tuf Lamed Beis, in Chuvos v'han hagos. Aleph tuf lamed beis. He says, but if the kavana is that, well, you sent him an invitation because you're friendly with him, but he's not your best friend, you're not really sure, you know, you went out of your way to invite him because you weren't sure, you know, you were using that as a measurement of how close he feels to you. So then, and he didn't come. And then he sends you back an invitation because obviously you invited him, so he has to invite you. But then there's no, and you say, well, he didn't come to me, I'm not going to come to his, but just because it's a measure of the friendship. You're not doing it out of Nakama, but this was just a measuring rod, how close you are. They didn't think each other were going to come. If you would have come, I would have come back to yours. Nobody's upset at each other. Alkein ain baze iser nekimo natira rock to modeid baze ha hecker beinehem veinu misraim alav klal ubelibo in shem tainus ain iser klal. Then he ends off v'yeshli zar baze kishah kadosh baruch hu bochein lavavos. Hashem knows v'yodeya beemes hasiba shenimna milavo. He knows why you're not going. Is it true? Is it really good feelings? Ubakau aluli kashal beisrolav. Very easily, it could go over the line that you're not going because you want to show him instead of just not going because it was a measure of the friendship. Related to this, it's not exactly the same, but you know this is not coming to a wedding. What about leaving early? What about leaving early? So this gets into the issues of, well, he didn't stay for my whole wedding, I didn't stay for his whole wedding. That's a different issue that the post can talk about in terms of leaving early, and that is the issue of zimun. Is one allowed to leave a zimun situation? Let's say I'm at a wedding, and there's a zimun of 10 men there. Am I allowed to leave early, or do I have to stay till 1:30 in the morning, till the wedding's over? So already, Rav Moshe Feinstein has already saved the day. Rav Moshe in Chelek Aleph, Simen Nun Vav, in Arachayim. Rav Moshe already says, and this is what the Minhag Olam is to rely on, you have an Eitzah Kala that you have in mind, and you say Beferish, right when you wash. Even if some poskim say, Rav Sternbach says, when he goes, he doesn't wash. He writes that in Shuva. But Rav Moshe says, you want to wash, fine, but just have in mind, even say Beferish when you're washing. I have Kavana not to be Mitzarif myself to the wedding. So you might say, well, does that lose your Sudas Mitzvah status, that you're not being part of the Mitzvah? So I think Rav Moshe would say you could have your cake and eat it too. On the one hand, you have, you're part of the mitzvah, the Sudas mitzvah, but on the other hand, you're not part of the tzir, because you had in mind, you're going to leave early. How could you force somebody, says Rav Moshe, to stay on a weekday night till all hours of the night and to ruin the next day, and you'll be totally a zombie? How could you say that? How could you say that, that people have the right to do that to me? So Rav Moshe says in that Shuva, Aleph Nun Vav, that a person cannot do that. And many other poskim as well, if you look in the Piskei Shuva, so he also quotes other poskim that follow Rav Moshe. There is no achrayas, you know, if one has to leave in order to go to their needs. Okay, two other points, and then we'll finish with Nekama for now. Number one is there a difference between Nekama during the week and Nekama on Shabbos? So, hashkafically, for sure, we should try not to become angry on Shabbos. But there is a Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchas Shabbos, Hamavir Gedisho Shel Chavero, if I burn down my friend's field, oh, Asorev Dirasso, or I burn down his house, Chayiv. I'm Chayiv. Chayiv always means Daraisa. Afa Pishu Mashchis. What do you mean? Isn't there a Pter of Mekalkel on Shabbos? If I do anything in a destructive manner, it's only in the Siddur Rabbanan. All of a sudden, the Rambam here is saying that if I'm a kalkelon, if I destroy something of my friends, then I'm chayiv daraisa for these malachas. Why? Mipnei shekavanaso lehinakei misono. Because your kavana here is to take revenge. Vaharei niskara daito. Vishachacha chamaso. You've calmed your anger. Vinase kikorea almeso. Just like you tear kriya for a relative. If you don't have Shabbos, you're chayiv because you've accomplished something. Obachamaso, or you're angry. Shu chayiv. The amazing Rambam. Take the come on Shabbos, there's no Pter Mekalkel there. Because you did something constructive. You calmed your anger. This relates to Rav Pinkus. Rav Pinkus, right here on the Pasuk, says, what's the purpose of Nekama? What does a person, like we said yesterday, what does a person get out of it? You know what a person gets out of it, says Rav Pinkus? Because once I pay him back, that's Megala that what he did yesterday was uncalled for. He heard me yesterday. So when I heard him, that shows the world that what he did was wrong. That does? Really? But that's what I think when I take Nekama. It says, Al yidei Nekama misalekas habusha vapgam shel esmo lemafreya v'yotzer mitzius hamochicha shemei olam ha'isa l'rubin z'chus l'heralo ki achshav mizbarer shal ha'isa ha'avel sha'asa negdo hinehu mishalim olav tavin v'takilon. Look what, he's paying for it. He's paid for it, so giving him the busha today removes my busha from yesterday. V'zeh matuk mitvash, as he quotes the language of the Mesulas Yesharim, shemachzir es kvodo l'mafreyas. I get my covered back. He says that's what we have to realize, that it's totally not true and it's totally false. And the Torah emphasizes this even, and this brings us even into the next mitzvah, emphasizes the next words, v'yavzal recha kamocha. That not only do I not have to take, I'm not allowed to take revenge in Maisa, or even in my heart, even if I'm not going to do anything but Maisa, it has to even be the opposite. I mean, the opposite, like the story that's told about Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe gave haskamas to anybody who wanted a haskam in their sefer. Anybody wanted a haskam, that's what they say. If you see haskam for Rav Moshe, like, okay, give haskam to everybody. But if Rav Moshe gives a haskam to a sefer, so somebody once gave to Rav Moshe with haskam, and then somebody said afterwards, after he left, Rav Moshe says, don't you know that guy? He blasted your shitas. He writes so many things against you. How can you give him a haskam? So Rav Moshe says, yes, haskam for a sefer. What? So he blasted me, okay, I disagree with him here. But I'm gonna hold a grudge. I'm gonna say, okay, I'm not gonna do this for you. That's a Rav Moshe. That's a Rav Moshe who's already on the level of fulfilling the mitzvahs of Nekiyah and Netirah. Okay, I'll stop here. Be'ez Hashem, we will continue. Be'ez Hashem next time with the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha.